Yeah, okay, Rabbi Zahid. It's Kiyadua that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin actually had two sons. In most cases, we're quite familiar with one, and that is Rabitzel of Volozhin, because Rabitzel is the one basically who was involved with the Nefesh HaChaim, with the publication of Nefesh HaChaim. There's also in the Nefesh HaChaim we have the Hagoyis, right? We have the additions that Rabitzel of Volozhin that he added based upon the teachings of his father. He expanded on it where he felt that he could add to it and so on to be Moisif. Rabitzel of Volozhin himself is a Malamokim. He succeeded his father as being, matter of fact, Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, and he was a great Chokham as well, and he was a great Askin and many Inyonim of Sarcha Klal. So he's not just like a rough teaching Torah, but really he was a communal. He was a communal Askin, being involved in every aspect of the community. But then there was also another son. So one son, as we said, is Rabitzel of Volozhin, and the other son, his name was Rabbi Yosef. And again, the Rabitzel, the son Rabitzchak, Rabitzel, is the one that's very well known, more known, because again, because he succeeded his father. He was Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, and there's not too much that we know Bechlal about the second son. It's very interesting, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. We hardly know anything about him. But we know that he had a son, which is Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, we find, has been titled by many as Harav HaGodol HaTzadik, those who addressed him and wrote to him, and so on. Matter of fact, HaGoyim Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, actually wrote a sefer called Toldos Rabbi Chaim of Volozhin, writes regarding this Rabbi Yosef, and he says, Medivrei Yomo Veino Neyodim Klum. Regarding the history behind this Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, the second son, we hardly know anything. All we know is that he married rich. Shenosa Bas Osher, he married a Bas Osher, and was given a dowry, Taryag, 613 dinarim. And in those days it was considered to be quite a bit of money and so on. And he writes that he was nifter quite young. We don't have any chiburim, we don't have anything in any sforim that he left, except a small hakdome that Rabbi Yosef wrote to the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. And there's one chiddush, a chiddush in Lomdus on Masechtas Yevamos. And it's interesting that that chiddush that he wrote to Masechtas Yevamos, because he writes before in the introduction to that chiddush, Rabbi Yosef writes that Hoyel Vasina, I came to learn the Bismedrash of my father, Mar Abba Hagoyin, and it was at that time there were Oisik, he says, Masechtas Yevamos. So therefore, he said, Bosi Bedovish in his chadish, and that's the only thing that we have. One can well imagine he had much more, but for some reason, again, it is lost, and we don't have many other writings of this Rabbi Yosef, who is the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. So it's a little bit of a mystery in terms of how is it that a son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin sort of like gets lost and we don't know hardly anything about him. How the Shaykh. So there's a Yid, a historian, his name was Rabbi Dov Hyman. So he decided he's going to do some investigation regarding this Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. And he writes, you know, the Soloveitchik families are descendants of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. So he writes, this Rabbi Dov Hyman, he writes, he says that Sha'alti kama memishpacha Soloveitchik. I asked many members of the Soloveitchik family, and not only that, the Gamhar ben Mumchim behistoria. I asked many experts who are in history, people who are in history, who know Toldos Mishpachos, who know, right, the history of families. V'choikrim, Tamid HaChomim Melita, even asked his people who are Tamid HaChomim, who came from Lithuania, that learned in Volozhin, he says, going back 100 years, look about the Shum Meida. I could not find out anything. As much as I tried to find out about this Rabbi Yosef, Adi says, Shenifgashti im Hamanoyach Ramoshe Tsinovis, I don't know who that is, but I met this person called Ramoshe. Who himself was Mole Vigodish, was Mamish, extremely knowledgeable, Yediyas Alita. Person was Mole Vigodish, really filled completely. Rabboneo, he knew about the Rabbonim of Lita, he knew the Chachomeo, the Tamil Chachomim, he knew about them. He knew about the Mishpachis, Miuchosis, about the Choshev Mishpachis of Lita. But who posali eschido halomos? Shemoi, Shab Yosef Hana. And he said, this Rabbi Hilma says, I met this Ramosha, yeah. And he basically, what he told me, now I find out what the cover-up is. The mystery of why we don't know who Rabbi Yosef is, too much about him, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. And what did he tell me? Rabbi Yosef Zeh, he said, this Rabbi Yosef, This time his name was, of course, Rabbi Yosef Rabinovich. That was the name, that was the family name of Chaim Volozhin, Rabinowitz. He says, what happened is that Nitzvah the Hasidus became a Chosid. Now, who would want to leave that legacy in Volozhin? Who would want to leave that legacy in Volozhin? Chaim Volozhin, you know, the epitome of Litvak, the prime Talmud of the Vilna Goyim, who is the greatest mistaget of all time against Hasidus, the Leichem against Hasidus. Chaim Volozhin following the same derech. And here he has a son. Here the son who became a chosid, this was a chosidus. The Nasa chosid, and he became a chosid, he brings over here. Became a chosid, he says, of the Rebbe of Lechvich. Rebbe of Lechvich, I'll tell a little bit about it. Rebbe of Lechvich, basically, he lived in the 1700s, in the late 1700s. He was nifter in 1810. He was a tremendous tzaddik. He was a Talmud of Rav Shloim of Karliner. A Talmud of Rav Shloim of Karlin, and he was noted for his tremendous avodah in tefillah. You know, different tzaddikim have different drachim and avodas Hashem. His name, and what he's noted for, he's outstanding, is the tremendous brand, the slahavas, the way that he davened. It was literally called asmoisa tamano. Every limb in his body, every limb in his body was involved. He davened, as they say, bishtapchus anefesh. That's the kind of davening that he did. And people would come simply from far and wide just for that, to see this kind of Yidhavi davenes. Remotcha of Lechvich. And he said that once he came to Lemberg, Lvov, otherwise known as Lvov. He comes to Lemberg and he says, I saw in some sort of a chazal that there was a bird, because all the birds, all the animals, that's what we call perik shira. All the animals say shira. Different animals have different psukim that they say. And there's a certain bird that says shira with such hislahavos that actually, that after a while, shimamish explodes. From tremendous dveikis, a bird that says shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu, she explodes. So Mordechai Lechvich said, I don't understand. I daven every day to the best of my ability. I don't explode. Am I less than that bird? So the maisa goes that he made a hakona the next day. He was Mekadish and Matai himself. He purified himself. And basically at that time, he laid down a davening, they say, with superhuman strength. Tremendous koyach. Till the tremendous Islahavos, he split a lung. The doctor's thought it's finished. But Lamaisa, he had a Refu Shalema. And this was his avoider. Another major part of his avoider, Ramatchav Lechvich, was tzedakah. They said that he would not go to sleep at night if he still had a dime in his pocket. He made sure, they say the same about the Divrei Chaim of Sons also, by the way. Divrei Chaim of Sons. He would not leave over a matbeya overnight. In other words, before he goes to sleep, he made sure if there's any oni somewhere, he made sure that he's going to get it. The Yiddish Zuckman, he lost Ibn Nech taking a matbeya. He didn't allow it to him. There's a Yid of Saletz who said, I'm also like Divrei Chaim. I also don't allow overnight any money. I put it right away in the bank, he says. The same thing. Okay. So I compare him. So Mordechai Lechvich, every opportunity he had was to give tzedakah. It almost looked like he looked for an excuse to give tzedakah. And he said that basically he got up in the morning, so before davening he gave tzedakah. Now that he finished davening, he gave tzedakah again. Before he washed, eating, gave tzedakah. After eating, he gave tzedakah. Before he learned, he gave tzedakah. After he learned, he gave tzedakah again. Every opportunity. And this is what he was, and he was Mazaris as Chassidim also, to know the Chassid is important to give tzedakah. So in any case, his son, by the way, Malmokim, was Reb Noyach of Lechvich. The Slonim Chassidim have also going back a big shaykhis to the Lechvich, to the Mordechai Lechvich. So here it was revealed that this is the secret. That's why they sort of like covered up about Reb Yosef, the son of Reb Chaim. So why am I mentioning this? Because the history is a funny thing. So there's a publication, a very prestigious publication. It was called Kovitz Yeshurin, it's called. It's a prestigious publication because they have Choshuva Chidusha Torah from Gedolei Yisrael. First of all, they print many manuscripts that have not been published yet. So they do a lot of research, that itself. And then in addition, from all Gedolei Yisrael, those that have passed on, you can have Chazenish, you can have Rav Shach, and so on, Baron Kotler, whoever it is, and then they have also high to give from today, Rosh Yeshivas, and even Stam Tamid Chachomim. But basically everything is, it's a very, very choshev publication. And then they have different articles of people who basically do a lot in history. So one of the editors of this Kovitz Yeshurim happens to be the 20th volume, there's more, the 20th volume. His name is Reb Lezer Katzman. Now Reb Lezer Katzman, his father was Reb Moshe Katzman, who was a choshev magichir in Torah Vadas many years ago. And this is Blazer Katzman. He happens to be one of the editors. There's a number of editors on this Kloivis. And he says the following. He says, regarding what this Rabbi Hillman writes, that the son, Rabbi Yosef of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, that he became a chosid, so he says he almost got it right, because I also did a lot of research on that, and it turns out, he says, Loi benoi shel Rabbi Chaim, elo nechdoi, and I nikla became a chosid. You know, Rabbi Yosef's son. Yosef had a son, his name is Rabbi Yohu, and this Rabbi Yohu, he was the one who became a chosid. And I'll compare them, so here's a little bit, you find out that it's a very interesting thing. They say when a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to punish a Litvak, he makes them have an Einikel Achusid. You know, it should never be a worse punishment, but I'll compare them, this is the situation. So it gives us a little bit of insight. We see that even Rabbi Chaim Volozhin had the descendants, because their children, already, once they became Hasidim, so their children follow already the Drachim of their father. So this is a little bit, we see what goes down the road. You never know, you're never secure enough. All right. So here we go to the Ruach Chaim, and it is three lines from the top. If you see where we left off last time, I don't know if you. What was the page number? What page? It should start with Zesha Omru on the top of the page. Zesha Omru. What do you have? It's on the front page. If you want to give it to me, I'll just look at it a second. We'll find it. Okay, let's just look over here. Okay, yeah, Tezvov, yeah, Zeshomer. That's what we arrived just about there. That's where we stopped actually last time. It's Tezvov, the third line, Zeshomer. Different editions already make a paragraph. Zeshomer is already a separate paragraph. This edition has it all, one lengthy paragraph. Okay, Tezvov. You'll see, and the Zeshomer. As you know, that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin had developed the basic difference between what makes Moshe Rabbeinu different as a Novi from all the other Nevi'im. And even though Aharon and Miriam were also greater than most Nevi'im, but they never reached the Madrega of the Moshe Rabbeinu. Lekom Novi Oy Bisol Kemoshe. And the basic difference is, as he pointed out, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Shechinim at the Be'ez B'toch Groinoi. Moshe Rabbeinu is, when he spoke, it's not me repeating a message that he received in the Shemaim, because Kibyol HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking through the voice of Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking through the voice of Moshe. And Reb Chaim said that sometimes, occasionally, Miriam and Aharon would also have that feature, but not on a steady basis like Moshe Rabbeinu. And even when they had it, they would not see a clear vision, an absolutely clear vision. They had to decipher a little bit the message. Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly, it says, the Marav Eloi Bechidois. Clearly a very, very clear message of Nevuah. Very clear, very explicit. And the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was like to that, because all other human beings, basically, we have a guf and we have a neshama. And the guf and the neshama are basically two separate entities. So the guf basically blocks out the hashpoah. The guf blocks out the messages that come in the shemayim, and therefore they cannot receive pure nevuah. But Shabbeinu, his guf, was so purified. And he said the reason is because, we'll soon see, because of the tremendous, the madrega of anova, the Moshe Rabbeinu had his humility. Humility means he's a v'nach numo, as if the guf, he was mevatel the guf totally to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was a mevatel's guf, so his guf and the shomer were like one. It's not that they were two separate entities. Moshe Rabbeinu elevated and purified his guf, that his guf itself was bebchinas neshomer. So there's no chatzitze, there's no blockage. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the very clear, pure, unadulterated message straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming, running through his body. So now he goes, Vezesha Omru. That explains what he started out to say. What Reb Chaim started to say is, we say a few pages back, and that I tried to explain. We find the wording when the Novi started to give Nevuah, he would say Koy Omar Hashem, Koy Omar Hashem. Right? This is how Hashem spoke. Koy Omar Hashem. This is the way. Moshe Rabbeinu would not say Koy Omar, but Zeh Hadover. What's the difference between Koy Omar Hashem? Right? So said Hashem, which the Novi says. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say so said Hashem. This is what Hashem is saying. What's the difference? He goes on to explain based upon we just. Declared the difference, explained the difference between Moshe and the Nevi'im. Vezesha Omru, Shehoyah HaNevi'im Misnavim B'Koyom Hashem. When we say that regular Nevi'im, regular Nevi'im would say Koyom Hashem, which means so said Hashem. Koy means Rotzoloi Makoy. What Koy means? So? K'moy Udmus Inyan Hazeh Omar. In other words, Novi would say, like this, similar to this, Hashem said. The Navi was only able to say like this, or similar to this, Hashem said. A Navi could not say, actually, Zeh HaDover. He couldn't say this exactly, because Shemashma, when you say Zeh HaDover, Mashmoyis of Zeh HaDover means, Shazeh HaDibur B'yatzmoy B'li Shinui, that they heard it exactly without any Shinui, Shomam Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem Yisbarach. And the Navi did not hear exactly, clearly, right, the message from Hashem. So he cannot say Zeh HaDover. Zeh HaDover means without any Shinuyim. And Navi had to, a little bit, he had to decipher the message. So all he could say is Koyam Hashem, like this and similar. This is what Hashem said. But that's a regular Navi. A regular Navi cannot say Zeh HaDover, because he did not receive the message exactly, perfectly. Ach Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem Hoyse Gevoyim Miyoyd. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega Nevuah was on a very high level, was very lofty. Voimedaberimo Ekodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, Kashi Yedaber Isha Reyehu. Like someone speaks to his chaver. It's an incredible thing to behold. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, with Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship was like somebody speaks to his chaver. The Torah says it that way. Beloshim Boru, very clear. Like when I speak to a friend, you clearly see what I have to say and I hear what he has to say. Kodesh Baruch Hu's relationship with Moshe was, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu Kashi Yedaber Isha Reyehu. So therefore only Moshe was able to say. Therefore Moshe would say, Zeh HaDover Asher Tzivah Hashem Loima. Bedibur Zesha Shamati. In other words, what I heard from Hashem, Borer An Boy. I heard very clear, Ani Oy Melochem, and this is how I'm saying it. And the reason again why Moshe had this privilege, why Moshe had the privilege to have the Nebu in such clarity, the Zehu Machmas, his Dachechu Sachoimer Esloi. Moshe Rabbeinu purified the physical. Moshe Rabbeinu, in a certain sense, was not physical. He purified the physical, which was physical, became transformed into spiritual. Moshe Rabbeinu purified HaKoymer Etzloi, right? So Melhoyim Mabit LaEtzeminyan, he was able to see the Etzeminyan clearly. V'zeh Shoma, that's why the Pasuk says then, Ba'alo Yisro, Utmunas Hashem Yabit. Moshe Rabbeinu gazes the image of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to gaze the image of Hashem. Now there's a number of words in Lashon Kodesh that mean to see, right? Vayar, he saw, right? Riyah means to see. Habot also means to see, right? Mabit. What's the difference between Habot and Riyah? Riyah means to see, but somewhat superficially. Habot means to see like a penetrating look, a very penetrating look, a much deeper look. So you have two words in Hebrew, both mean to look, but not the same. Riyah means to see, but you know, on the surface. But you don't, like an x-ray looks very deeply through, right? It's a very deep look. Yabit means a very deep look. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees it with a deep look. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. The word Yabit means a deep look. Loshon HaBotah, who histaklus yeseiro be'etzem inyan. You see that? That's the Loshon. It's a much deeper look. Skip the little brackets over here. The Chozeh Zocho. And why was Moshe Zoche to that? To have that unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Machmas Roiv Anovo. It all goes back to the Anivas of Moshe Rabbeinu, the humility. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the humility meant Shehoya Boy, which he had, Shehoya Haguf Nechshav Etzlo Kedova Ma. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was totally bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goof became bottled totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amela, that is what gave him this tremendous Madrega. Agavorcha, the Nefesh HaChaim, this is Ruach HaChaim, of course, but Ruach HaChaim Elohim, we said many things in Ruach HaChaim we can find more clear even in the Nefesh HaChaim, because Nefesh HaChaim he actually wrote. Ruach HaChaim basically was transmitted by Talmidim, of the drushes that Ruach HaChaim gave. So Ruach HaChaim says the Nefesh HaChaim, we find out that another humility is not just a nice midah or a good midah, or an important midah. The midah of Anova is really the shayush, is the root for all the midah shayush. For all the midah shayush, all the good midahs that a person should have, the shayush of that is Anova, and the opposite, gaiva, arrogance, is shayush v'hasa'oyesh b'isra l'chola midah shayush. This is the lashon in Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim says, gaiva, he says, mamish, he says, that is like, you know, when you make a dough, you put in yeast. The yeast makes the dough rise. The yeast of all the bad midas, he says, is gaiva. Arrogance, haughtiness. So when you have gaiva, so it runs both ways. Gaiva is the shayrish, or is considered to be the worst, the root of all the terrible midas. And another happens to be the shayrish of all the midas toivis. Moshe Rabbeinu had extremely, the highest level he had the midah of Anova. And basically his goof, humility of the guf was that it was mevatel his guf, and amela he was zeicher that the guf basically became totally purified to the extent that there was no stira, there was no contradiction between the guf and the neshama. Having said that, so now Reb Chaim comes back to where he started the beginning of this perek. Might just review just what was the basic kasha. The basic kasha, you might remember, everybody knows the beginning of Masechtas Ovis, the first, right away the first Mishnah. It says that Moshe kibbel Torah Mesinai. Moshe receives the Torah Mesinai. From who did he receive it? Of course, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's after that? Umesora, he gave it over to Yeshua. So Reb Chaim Elijah says, wait a minute. By Moshe it says he was Mekabel. Why, to be consistent, say Yeshua was Mekabel from Moshe. But we switch terminologies. Moshe kibbel Torah, Moshe received, right, from Sinai. Moshe gave it over to Yeshua. Why does it say that? And Yeshua received from Moshe. Or say the other way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moser to Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to Moshe. And Moshe gave over. So either use Mesirah twice or use Kabbalah twice. Why change me from Kabbalah, from receiving, to Mesirah, transmitting? Moshe kibbel Torah Mesirah, Moshe receives. Does not say Yeshua received. Moshe gave over. Why switch the terminology? So I'll tell you why. Therefore here by Moshe Rabbeinu it says Loshin Kibbul Mesinai. Kibbul means to receive, me to receive as is. If somebody gives you something from hand to hand, you receive the whole thing. It's Kabbalah means to receive. Kabbalah means Moshe Kibbul Torah Mesinai Shebeloshin Sheshoma Boy Niskabel Esra HaNavua. In other words, Moshe received the Navua very, very clearly. He received it as is. Kabbalah is Miyad Liyad. Kabbalah means from hand to hand. Mesira, you know, transmitting, you know, you can transmit, you can wire something. It's also transmitting. It's not dafke miyad liyad. I can send something by courier. I can give something over, right? By post. And so on and so forth. Mesira is not necessarily miyad liyad. Kabbalah is miyad liyad. Mesira can be from a distance. When things go from a distance, you don't hear. You don't have direct communication, necessarily, from the one who's sending to the one who's receiving. That's the difference. Moshe's mekabel means he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Kabbalah means miyad liyad, from hand to hand, very clear, unadulterated, no confusion. But Yeshua shloi hoya onov kemoshe. Yeshua, yes, of course Yeshua is an onov, but he's not an onov like Moshe. Meaning, therefore, when his dachik etzlei hachoyim kemoshe, the body, the group of Yeshua was not, what, did not purify itself to the extent, to the level of Moshe. Lekach nema aboy loshin mesire. Mesire v'loi kibel. Why? Shloi kibel kol advoim memoshe. In other words, Yeshua did not receive from Moshe what Moshe received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe, whose body was so pure, he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu very clear, right, everything. Yeshua, whose body was not in that madrega, by him it was Moshe giving over, but he did not receive everything that Moshe received. That's why it says Moshe, he gave over. Yeah, he gave over some of what he had, he gave over. Shloikimu kol advarim Moshe. Yeshua did not receive everything from Moshe, kaviyosra loy mesinai, as Moshe received. Right there, Mesira. Mesira means transmitting, could be even from a distance. Veloshe Mesira yachlias apla merochoi, could be even from a distance as well. So that's the idea. So being that Yeshua, right, that his physical was not, right, it was not purified to the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he was not able even to be masik, was not able even to capture, because you understand the secrets of Torah, by the way, the more spiritual you are, the more you have the opportunity to be able to be masik and to be able to comprehend. But the physical, the more physical you are, then there's a limitation to how much you can be able to masik, how much you're able to receive from Shemayim. Yeshua, being that his body had quite an element of still physicality in it, therefore, he was not able to be masik all that Moshe receives. He received to a lesser degree, a lesser darge. That's the chilik between Moshe and Yeshua. Now, it's interesting. Moshe kibbel Torah Mesinai, right? Mesorah le Yeshua. What's that after that? Yeshua le Zekeinim. It doesn't say the Yeshua Mosro le Zekeinim. It doesn't say. It says Yeshua le Zekeinim. It doesn't say the word Mesirah. It means Mesirah, but it doesn't say the word Mesirah. Moshe kibbel Torah Mesinai. Right? Mesorah, he gave it over to Yeshua. Yeshua le Zekeinim. It doesn't say Yeshua Mosro le Zekeinim. For example, furthermore, it says, when the Vim Osru Lancha Knesset Agdoilu, it says, Yeshua gave it to the elders, right? The elders gave it over to the Nevi'im. No word of Mesira. The Nevi'im gave it over to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Who are the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? These were the people of the Great Assembly. There basically was members of about 120 great sages. We're talking about the beginning of Bayis Sheni. The beginning of Bayis Sheni, we're talking about the time of Ezra. Actually, it was founded by Ezra. Ezra who brought them up after Golus Bavel, 70 years exiled to the Bavel, to go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Bais the second time, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and then was instituted the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, 120 members. Among them was Mordechai of the Megillah. Mordechai the Esther, Mordechai of the Megillah was one of the members of the Great Assembly of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Among them were the later Nevi'im. The later Nevi'im, Chagi, Malachi, Zechariah, the later Nevi'im were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. By the way, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were those that basically, the Shemoneh Esrei that we daven, basically the wording that we have, the Shemoneh Esrei, all the different, the 18 brachas that we have, this was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So, and many other things, certain brachas and so on and so forth, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Now, it says, the Nevi'im gave over the Torah Masruah. Here it does say Masruah. Because from the Nevi'im on, there was already a Yerida. Meaning there was a Yerida, so even what the Nevi'im had, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had less already. Whenever you have Mesira, it means you lose something in the transmission. Whenever you give something over, Belosh and Mesira, it means you're losing the transmission. So by the Nevi'im, Masruah Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but between Yeshua to the Zekanim, it doesn't say the word Mesira. Why? Because Shekulam, Yeshua, Zekanim, and Nevi'im are by Madreg Achas. If they're Madreg Achas, so they all had it the same way. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah by Madreg Alamata Nevi'im. They're Madreg lower. Therefore it says Masruah, because they received only less. So as the Doris went on and on, right, the Doris became Shvacher, but it became considerably Shvacher from the time of the prophets to the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were already Madreg, as great as they were. They're already less. So the Torah that they received from the Nevi'im, it says Masruah. The Nevi'im transmitted. And by the Lashon, transmitting means is they got somewhat less than from what came from. So that is basically the. And it's all the base again in terms of how pure is the Guf. The purer the Guf is, the more we are able to comprehend, the more we are able to receive Min HaShemayim. So I want to show you here, just a little here. If you see the next, you have your Hagor. Here we have again, here we have an addendum again from Hagoyin, Reb Yitzchok. Here we have a shtickle. This is, from time to time you're going to have, from the Yisrael of Volozhin, there's a son of Reb Chaim, Ben Hagoyin and Mechaber, who adds, basically he builds on what his father Reb Chaim said. And he goes on and says here a very, very beautiful thing. Lefima Shekosov, according to what my father, Reb Chaim, just basically made a distinction. He marked the distinction. And he said, I have no Moshe Yeshua. The basic difference between Moshe and Yeshua is, Bibchinis his Dachachus HaChomer. It has to do with how much the body, the physical, was purified. And if you might remember, Reb Chaim told us, and we had it a few shurim back, the body is called Na'al, it's called Shu. The body is called the Na'al. The body is called the Shu. Why? Because the reason that the body is called the Shu, because the body is the Shu for the Neshama. The same way that you put a shoe on the foot, the body is really what contains the Neshama. So the same way that the shoe is put on the foot, the body is the Shu for the Neshama, but particularly it's called the Shu, because the Shu is put on the lower part of the foot. Where do you wear the shoe? On the lower part. The neshama that we have, you might remember Abraham said, we have here the lower part of our neshama. The most upper part of the neshama remains in Shemayim. Reb Chaim told us the neshama that we have, that's not the entire neshama. Most of our neshama is really in Shemayim. The root of our neshama is in Shemayim. And that's pure, pristine, untainted. What we have is here the other end, the end of the neshama, that's within our body. So the body is like the shoe to the foot. Because we have the edge of the neshama. The Loshon, he says, the guf is the saif haraglayim shel haneshama. The guf is the saif haraglayim shel haneshama. Because we have the lower part of the neshama. The end of the neshama we have. So the guf is like the shoe. In the same way that the shoe covers the foot, the guf covers the neshama. So the guf is called the na'al. Now, so comes now Reb Yitzchok Volozhin, and he says the following. He says, his boy Shapir will understand Abimash because of Ashloh, the Shloh Kodesh, the great Shloh, the Rosh Hashanah of Shloh, of course, the Shnei Luchas Abris, that's the Sefer of the Shloh. Many of the Horowitzes, that was the last name of the Shloh, many Horowitzes are descendants of the Shloh Kodesh. His name was Pshai Halevi Horowitzes. There are Horowitzes that are not Levis, so they're not Einiklich. of the Shlach HaKodesh. But Horowitz is most likely, you're going to find Horowitz is their descendants of the Shlach HaKodesh. And you realize, not too many of all the thousands and thousands of great people that we have with Zoyche, that Klal Yisrael attached. It just happened that way. There was no vote that the name Kodesh is attached. The name Kodesh. No, what do you have? Shlach HaKodesh? What else do you have? Or Chaim HaKodesh? People say? Al Shech HaKodesh. And Chassidim have added Baal Shem HaKodesh. Okay. Chassidim have added Baal Shem. The three. You have Al Shech HaKodesh, the Shlach HaKodesh, and Or Chaim HaKodesh. That's the basic. So, the Shlach HaKodesh says in Parashat Shemois, on the Pasuk, look what he says. It says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, when he comes, when he sees the burning bush, it says, Shal ne'olecho ma'u aglecho. Make note of the digduk. Na'alecho means plural. Remove your shoes. Na'alecho, shoes, ma'u aglecho, from your feet. Which basically means two shoes from 2 feet. We find a similar lotion, slightly different, when Yeshua by Yerichoi, because Baruch Hu tells Yeshua also to remove shoes, but he doesn't say shoes. Remove shoe from your foot. One. How's that? You wear two shoes, don't you? So let's take a look. The Shlach HaKodesh tries to explain on the Pasuk, Shal ne'olecho ma'u aglecho. Because Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, remove your shoes from your feet. V'zeh l'shoina. This is the words of the Shlach HaKodesh. Yeshua Aksiv, in contrast, look what he finds by Yeshua. Yeshua says, Shal Na'alcho, not Na'alcho. Shal Na'alcho, right? Ma'al Ragloch. Like from your foot. Na'alcho, so why is that? Why by Yeshua it's only mentioned Na'al? It's only talking about removing one shoe. So he says, Ki b'moyshe Aksiv, he says Na'alcho. B'moyshe says your shoes, plural. Ho'inyan. Because sheyesh beis mine levushe or liodom. Ah, man basically has two, right? Has two levushim, has two layers of skin, so to speak. There are two layers of skin, which is a levush. The skin, right, is like a person puts on a beged. The skin that covers the body is like a beged to the body. The skin, but there's two levushim. There's two types of levushim that a person has made out of skin. Aleph, one is or behemoth, that is the leather from an animal, that is shoes, simply put. Okay, that's one level of that's one level of oir, of skin, of leather. Or behemoth, shaloivish, dahainim anolim. Okay, that's one level. Beis, or asmo, his own skin, not animal skin. Animal skin are the shoes. But also he has his own skin. That's Or Atzmoy. K'moy Shekosov, as the Pasuk says in Iyuv. Iyuv says, Or Ubosor Tal Bisheni. You have clothed me with skin and flesh. You see that Or is called a Levush. Or is called a Levush. Now, you realize, Or is a Levush. Or is, what is Or? Or is skin. Or is leather. Or is skin. That's Or with an iron. Right? If you substitute the iron for an olive, it turns into oil. It turns into light. To something that Moshe Rabbeinu, his body was so purified that the skin of his body was neshama, it was cooler light, it was cooler oil. It was not oil with an iron. Moshe Rabbeinu's oil. Moshe Rabbeinu's physical oil was not oil with an iron. It was oil with an aleph. There's the Moshe Rabbeinu oil ba'aleph. Sounds the same. Oil. But one is oil with an iron. But that's a physical oil. Moshe Rabbeinu had oil with an aleph. V'lachein oyer ma'alosoy, that's why his madrega was Yosef Kol HaNeviim. Because his body did not have, so to speak, it wasn't the physical skin, but Moshe Rabbeinu elevated and transformed the body to turn into oil. His body was neshama-like. His body was neshama-like. V'zeh sheromaz l'kodesh baruch hu. So now listen, now shtim is very good. Now it comes up. Shal na'alecho l'shin rabim. It's a tremendous thing. We have two shoes. What are the two shoes? One is the physical shoes that we put on our feet. The body is also a shoe, remember? The body is also a shoe. Kabbalah says to Moshe Rabbeinu, remove two shoes. One is the shoes that you're wearing on your feet. The second one, remove the body that's called now, make, transform the body into a neshama. That message is only can be given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Lacha plural. Move. Take off your physical shoes. Remove the other shoe. What's the other shoe? The goof is also called a now. Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, feels that Moshe Rabbeinu can live up to that challenge to remove not only the physical shoes, that everybody can do, everybody can move your shoes, take off your shoes. That's the Ar Behema. That's the Ar Behema. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to remove the goof, which is also called Na'al. That's good. That's what says plural. Na'alecha. Remove your shoes. The plural is not two shoes, one foot, right foot and left foot. That's not the plural. The plural is the two levels of shoes. One is the actual shoe that you take off from your feet. The other shoe is referring to the goof. Shal na'alecha l'sharabim, shitzorach la'hesa, beiz minei manolim. We're talking about two categories of shoes. Da'ina ora behema, that's the animal shoes, which means what you wear on your feet. Remove the other now. Remove the other shoe. That is the body. Kloima. She is Dache Chumen Legamra, because Baruch is demanding from Moshe. He can do it and he did it. That she purifies physical to the extent she Oyer Be'alas. That the Oyer Haguf turns into Oyer Ha'alas. That's Moshe. That's the plural. Shal Na'alecho. Remove both of your shoes. The shoes, the Oyer Behema. The actual shoes, and the body, which is also called Baal. How do you move the body? Removing the body means transform it into oil with an aleph. Turn the body into a spiritual entity. Al Yeshua lo yizokho lo zeh madrege. Yeshua was not zeh madrege, that his body, right, that should be able to remove the physical body. There's only one shoe he can remove, the shoe from his feet. That's why it says Loshin Yochid. Yeshua didn't have that madrege. Are Yeshua lo yizokho lo zeh madrege? Lekakasiv. Therefore by Yeshua it says, Shal na'alcho. Singular. Malaglacho, Loshin Yochid. Shekoya lo habeim. It's going on the leather, the behema leather, which is the physical shoe. But Yibrochu did not ask Yeshua to remove the second shoe, which is means the body, which is also called shoe. Transform it in the spiritual. That Yeshua couldn't do, but not on that madrege. That is the extreme, extreme madrege of a Moshe Rabbeinu. So having said that, let's take a look now at the sheet. We'll find a few very, very fascinating, fighting situations regarding what we're talking about. And all of these different maramaklemas that we have at first goes on the line that we just learned, the Ruach Haim. We bring the line, the first item, the line of the Ruach Haim. Look in the sheet number one. We learn that Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he zeichet to purify his guf to that extent? Because of the tremendous mid of Anova. Because Anova, Moshe Rabbeinu's mid of Anova was bitl haguf legamre. Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega of Anova was bitl haguf all the way. This is quoting the Loshen that we learned just a moment ago in Ruach Haim. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche to all that. Machmas roiv Anova shehoye boy. The extreme humility that he had. Shehoye boy. Shehoye haguf. Nechshav etzloi kedover ma. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel's guf to the highest absolute degree, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's guf basically becomes transformed in bechin like a neshama. So the first item we have here, and basically this is echoed by many, but just to show you, the first item is here from the Lev Eliyahu, from Eliyahu Lapian, the great Baal Musar. And here they try to take quite simply. People many times make a big mistake in what an onov means. See, someone is a tremendous onov. Well, first of all, to be an onov, it means that you really have a lot, right? You would have a lot to boast about, but you don't. Someone has nothing to boast about, what do you mean an onov? Unfortunately, many people who don't have, boast about what they don't have. An onov, by definition, means that somebody really has great madregas. He's extreme chokham, could be an extreme talmud chokham, or could be an extreme tzaddik, or could be extreme bal tzedakah. Right? He has tremendously, right? Has a lot of merit. He has humility. So when you say somebody's an onov, what do you mean he's an onov? Does it mean he does not know he's great? Many people think an onov means he does not know what he is. An onov, he's an onov means, humility means is he does not recognize his madrega. So, Bayola Pyant, that's a big mistake. An onov is not someone who does not know his masif. As a matter of fact, one of the Baal Musa says that's a shoiter. Someone does not know his matzah? What do you mean you don't know? So let's take a look. And so what is an onov? An onov knows how great he is, and yet he has humility. Why? As we'll soon see right now. Okay? Yesoid musukla anova says the Boyo Lapian. When you talk about being an onov, he says, hey, we're talking about Moshe, the greatest onov. You think Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that he was the greatest of every yid? You think Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that? Moshe is the greatest onov ever, right, on earth? You think Moshe at the same time being the greatest onov? You think he did know he's the greatest yid in all of Kol Yisrael? Did Moshe know that? So how are you an onuf? What does it mean you're an onuf? Well, we'll find out. Yesoid musuk anova, the foundation of the whole concept of anova, eino is not shlo yeda ha'odom v'yakiris erech nafshoi. Does not know your value. An onuf does not mean that you don't recognize your worth. Humility does not mean that you don't know your value, that you don't recognize your worth. I'd rather, just the opposite. A person should know the koiches that he has, the potential that he has. It's important that he does recognize. I'd rather, sorach odom leida koiches nafshoi. Except, so how do you have humility? If I know that I'm the greatest, right? I'm the smartest person in the world. The way you have humility is because you recognize it's a matonim eshamayim. It's like someone's born with blue eyes. You're going to go boast about it. You're born that way. What's it got to do with you? What are you boasting about? So if you have all the milas that you have, recognize some atonement of Shemayim. So the gift would be given to anybody who also had it. Somebody, for example, who happens to have ingenious ideas, let's say in business, just for example. I'm going out to the other direction. And he makes it. So there is room to say, okay, look, he showed a lot of talent, and he becomes a billionaire. What about somebody who inherits $1 billion? It's not the same thing. He didn't do anything. You inherited it. So what are you boasting about? Nothing credited to you. Nothing because of what you did or what you didn't do. So Rabbi Yoel Lapian says the idea of humility is, even though you know all the koiches and everything that you have, the talent, the kishrin, the talent, was goloisa, and the potential, hey, matona shemayim, it's not your doing, because Baruch Hu gave you all of that. As a matter of fact, would you say to yourself, had somebody else had the same IQ, you would have been the same smarter, maybe you're smarter than me. If somebody else would have the same brain, maybe you would have been smarter than me. The yeda ki ilu lo demacha, what he should imagine and understand, had somebody else had the same koiches, the same kishrin, the same, right, would have the same kamoyu, hoyamasig yosef, forget, maybe he would have achieved even more than I achieved. Given everything equal, had somebody else had the same opportunities, had somebody else the same privileges as I had. If somebody else would have had, let's say, the same brain power that I have, you could have achieved even more. So that's the case. If you figure that one, then you say, I owe a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a great brain, so instead of boasting about it, you say, wait, there's responsibility. I didn't achieve enough. A part of it went to waste. I'm only using 10% of my potential. So instead of boasting about how smart you are, you should feel guilty that you owe a Kodesh Baruch Hu because you did not utilize the gift that he gave you. You should be a lot of humility there. You should have. He says, he's a Balchoyv, because Baruch Hu now is like his creditor. If a person does not utilize, so now you're deficient. All the madrigas you have, all the talent that you have, so use it to your fullest. It's a gift in a Shemayim and so on. V'rai G'dayla, the biggest rai, that what? An onov is not someone who does not know his matzis. An onov knows, surely he knows. What's the raya that an onov knows his greatness? Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, the Torah tells us he's the onov mikol odom. He's the greatest onov asher al pnei ha'adama that ever walked this earth. Right? And it also says, the Torah writes, b'ferish ha'moshe, lo'i kein abdi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like anybody else. Like b'chol beisi nemanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu is the most loyal to me. Peh al peh, daru boy, he has his chus, I speak to him face to face. Umarev v'loi b'chidois, he sees things clearly from me, nothing in riddles. T'munas Hashem yabit, he had the privilege of seeing, as we said a moment ago, to gaze straight into Hashem. Right? So now, as a matter of fact, the Rambam says one of the 13 ikrim, you say, animam, there's 13 animamins. If a yid does not believe in one of the animamins, this is an apikoris. But he's a heretic. The foundations of the 13 animamins that a person has to believe, the Rambam sets aside, and we happen to sit at the end, many people say it every day. So one of the yud gimel ikrim, one of the 13 foundations of faith, one of the 13 foundations of faith, what the Rambam says, an imam ibn shalema, lahamin, you have to believe, b'emunah shalema, with complete faith, you have to believe that nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu ois amitis. You have to believe that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was true, You have to believe that he was Avla Nevi'im, HaKoyim Lefonov. He's the father of all the Nevi'im before him and after him. Now this is a foundation of faith. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't believe it. It's a big problem. Moshe Rabbeinu also had to believe in that Animame. The Animame happens to be about him. But if you're a Jew, you have to believe in the Animame. The Animame said that Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu also has to believe it, said Rav Rapia. So they have to believe it, so now he knows he's the greatest Novi. There's nobody like him. So he knows it. And yet, he was the biggest honor. He was the greatest honor at the same time. So he said, "Bavadai gam al Moshe atzmoi chalo hachoy v'laham in b'zeh b'amun shalema." But he also had that chiyuv. And yet you're an honor. Why? Because he says, it's not my doing. It's all matanah min hashamayim. Anything of my greatness that I have, it's the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, he endowed me. And yes, a person has the ability, right, to develop and to build. But even that, who gave you the seichel to develop? It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you. So any talent, any ideas that come through your mind, this is the workings of the brain, through the energy, and through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matanah, a gift to you. So it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what are you boasting about? So you could be aware, and you should be aware of all the greatness that you might have, if you have it. Let's hope you have it. At the same time, it's not a contradiction of being an onav at all. And the same idea, Mamish, you've seen the Sefer Or Yohel. In Parashat Shmini, that's Rebbeinu Chassan. Rebbeinu Chassan again was, by the way, Rebbeinu Apian was a Rebbe of Reb Shlomo Shvadron, and he put out the Sefer, by the way, it's from the tapes that he put out the Sefer Lev Elyo, from the Shmuzen. And also Rebbeinu Chassan, right, was Meshgich and Hebron, was also a Rebbe of Reb Shlomo Shvadron. And he also was involved with the Sefer Or Yohel. Anyway, so Rebbeinu Chassan says the following, Parashat Hu, listen to this. Four lines. Poshetu she'onov einoy nikre misha eino yedeya mahuso v'koyches nafshoy. It's poshet, he says. An onov is not someone who does not know his greatness. That's not an onov. It's poshet. Ki shoytehu v'lo yonov. See what he says? If you don't know your greatness, and in fact you're great, it's a shoyte. Elo shemakir. But he recognizes that's why he's an ono, because he recognized whatever I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. So what are you boasting about it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis and gave him certain things that I had somebody else doesn't have, and you have what somebody else doesn't have. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned you certain things, he assigned other things to you and to the other person. So the male gave it to him. So the more the person understands that what he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not him, that makes him a bigger honor. But at the same time, he knows his greatness. But it's not about me, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. It's all gift. It's all that. And the same idea, Rabbi Isai, is also, the Chazon Ish also says it, so we don't have to actually repeat it, but you have it here on the sheet, the same thing here. If you see just the first line, by the way, just the first two lines of the Chazon Ish number 4, the Chazon Ish says, Begedem midas hanovo toyim rabim. There are many, many who make a mistake. Many make a mistake how to define anova. The choshvam, they think she anova perusha, they think the definition of anonov, lahachzik asma l'boi reik. She considers herself an ignoramus. Here you have a principle of boki bishas, but if he's a nonov, he should imagine that he's an ignoramus. So he says, what kind of half a minute? That's not a nonov. We don't expect, just the opposite. It's a fault if a person does not know his milas. It's a fault, he says. So, she'odo mehanovo amiti, the true anov is she'odo miyedas erkoi. He knows his value, his worth. However, but he understands that what that doesn't go through his head. He understands it's a gift from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he also understands the responsibility. You have to use it. And the talent the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, there's a responsibility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it you for nothing. And therefore, if you default on that, come up to Shemaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, listen, I gave you so many opportunities. Why did you let all those opportunities go to waste? Wasted opportunity, and so on. Now, talking about, you know, Anovin Gaiva. So we have here a drosha, actually an excerpt of a drosha of the Yaris Drash, Rabbi Yehuda Sanaipschitz. Well, many of us were at the cave of Rabbi Yehuda Sanaipschitz in Hamburg, of course. A 5 kilometers away from Rabbi Yankiv Emden, the arch rival. And Rabbi Yehuda Sanaipschitz, which was the preeminent Gadol Hador of his time. And as we mentioned a number of times, he was a master of Yeshiva in the extent that he had 20,000 Talmidim. We're really talking about the mid-1700s. And even the early 1700s. And they say many times the mode of travel was not like today, and he didn't have, you know, modes of communication, and yet he was so great that his reputation, even in those days, just went far and wide, all over, and they came from all over. So Rabbi Yehuda Sanaipschitz, he writes about the competition in Shul. this basically this might hit home in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. This is a drasha that he gave. This is a drasha that he gave actually in Hamburg, and he writes the following. First, he says, "You know what a shul is? A shul today represents a miniature Beis Hamikdash. That's number one. That's really what a shul is. A shul is not a lounge. You don't walk in with a cell phone. And that's why we don't allow it. Even when you're not davening, you want to speak on a cell phone. You go outside." Shul is a Mogim Kodesh. Now, for Kozor HaMordechai, Shebeis HaKnesses Shalonu, the Mordechai, right, one of the Rishonim, writes that our Shul, Yesh Lo Kedushas Heichol Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, Im Kain says, Rabbi Yedison Aipshis, he says in a drosha, Sorach Lehimotse Banova Yisair, especially when you come into Shul, you come in with humbleness, you come with humility. Kotn V'Godel Shem Shav, in a Shul, Kotn V'Godel, they're all equal. A person who is lower, a person who is higher, doesn't make a difference. They're all even. You're standing in that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes now. You are now in a shul. It's not outside. Here you take off the gloves. Everybody's even over here. You come in the shul, cotton the goggle, shove him. Baba Yisainu Rabim Loi Kein Adover. Unfortunately, he says, Jude, he says, to the many Averas that we have, this is a phrase that's used commonly. Unfortunately, he says, this is not the way it is. The way we behave in shul is not the way that we should. He's writing this in the 1700s, remember. Ikar HaGaiva, the main arrogance is in shul. In the place, Dafke, where it should be, right, the most humble, right? An exercise of humility that should be in shul, it comes into the opposite, ironically. The biggest gaiva, more than even on the street, the biggest gaiva, the biggest arrogance is in shul. How? Ba'aliyas HaTorah, when it comes to aliyas. Sound familiar, huh? Aliyas HaTorah. Betfilis, davening, I guess he means going to the Yomid. Going to the Yomid, who down for the Yomid? Tkiyas, who's about to care? The Esrig, I have a nicer Esrig than you. Really? Remember, see mine, see yours? Esrig. Hakofis, who gets the first Hakofis? Right? Oh, this is the competition. The Shach HaLukas Kibudim and all the other distribution of various Kibudim that you have in the shul, that's where the Gaiva comes up. In spite of the fact that the shul should be the greatest place of Anova, but even if Asa Yudot said in the shul at least should have Anova, it turns to the opposite. The biggest Gaiva is in shul. The biggest Gaiva is in the shul. And listen what he says. Ashikam Apoamen Hutzukul Olechas HaKoyes HaKach. They actually had to go to court. The Machloikas were so great. The machloekes were settled in court. The machloekes were settled in court. Baruch Hashem, says Rabbi Yenison, in our kila, which is Metz, because he was also with the Rav in Metz. Metz, right? Alsace-Lorraine, in France. That's where the Shagasari, by the way, also was Rav over there. And the Shagasari was Nifter, and his kever is in Metz. The Pnei Yeshua was also Rav in Metz. Before he came to Frankfurt, was also Rav in Metz. Okay, so Ivishis, Rav in Metz. One of the most prestigious rabbinical positions. Baruch Hashem, he says, in our kila metz, kan lo nishma, shtus kozeh. Avalibi davoi, my heart hurts. My heart aches. Al pirtzis yisroh b'sham mekoymes, to the pirtzir. Right? To the pirtzir on mekoymes, vakosuv mazir. The Torah said, beferish, v'loisala b'malois. Do not climb high. Don't look for high. Don't look for a lot of covet. Al mizbechi. When you're dealing with the mizbeach, when you're living with avoideh. Don't try to climb high up the ladder. Be happy that wherever you are, even on the lower rung, don't try to look for the highest covet. Ubiyoyis especially says, with dealing he says, Ubiyoyim mechubed the kodesh l'Hashem. Talk about Holy Day, like Shabbos v'yontiv. Talk about Shabbos v'yontiv. It's not even a weekday. Talk about Shabbos v'yontiv. Shabbos v'yontiv especially, right, it would demand a different type of behavior. Dabke shol, and dabke on the Shabbos v'yontiv, shiruya ha-gaiva b'yoyisir. Dabke there, the gaiva, he said, becomes, right, becomes pronounced more. You chase HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the shul. You're driving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the shul, and you allow instead that the Satan comes in instead. The evil forces come in. You drive the Kiddush out. You give room for the Satan to come in. Oilono, he says, Kichotono. This is a drasha that he gave. And listen here. Davki b'yomim shesh b'm chefes l'Hashem. Dafke, those days, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really appreciates more, a Shabbos, a Yontif, Tiyahagayve Mishkin Lissanim Nochesh Kedmoini. The Gaiva becomes a place which is the Nochesh, right? The first serpent. That was the Shreus of the Yisrael. Well, guess what? We're reliving the serpent, the Nochesh, HaKadmoini. We're reliving it, it says in our shul. Vakosuv Sovayach, the Posse cries out, make sure Lo Yiroa Becho Ervas Dovor. Make sure that shame is not exposed. Because if your shame is exposed, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will remove himself. There's no greater erva, he says, than machloikis in a shul. There's no greater erva. The ein locha erva yosem azeh. Now look what he says on the good side. Meshabeach ani es beis haknesses beprague. I praise, he says, the shul in Prague. He was Rabbi Prague as well. Meshabeach ani es beis haknesses beprague. Shlo yimker hagabe aliyah leteire. You hear that? In Prague, they did not auction the aliyahs. Machlokes, I outbid you outbid me. You know what they did? A goyrel. They cast lots. That's what it was. A goyrel. You can't argue. That was the meaning in Prague. When Shabbat is based on Knesset Prague, Shlo Yimker Hagab Ali Lutayver, Rakhoyer Fi Goyro. So you can say, how does the shul make money? How does the shul make money? So they had a fixed price. Kohen cost this much, Levi cost this much, Yisrael cost this much. Even though you may not get as much had you allowed it to bid, but it's Kedai to be Menei Machloikis, let the shul make a little bit less, and let's preserve the Kedusha and the sanctity of the basic Knesses. There was a fixed, right? There was a fixed amount. That was already predestined. So the hate of Yasu, it would be very a good thing if Yisaktum Gam Kan. Because now he's writing for Metz. It would be very good if Akila and Metz can also have something like that. All the Kehillah should learn from that. So we have everybody say, you see already, there's nothing new, history always repeats itself. But again, this is something that keep reviewing and reviewing. And people don't understand, you know, that this is what Ramchal tells us many times. People, in their zeal to do a mitzvah, don't realize how many toes sometimes they step over to do a mitzvah. And if that's the case, your mitzvah really is not really a very quality mitzvah. One of the examples that he gave, which is it's sort of like a childish example. You have the person that's putting on his talus, right? He's making a bracha. So he takes his talus, right? And while he's putting on his talus, the tzitzis slaps five people in the face. Alright, you're putting on your talus, very nice, you want to put on your talus. But at the same time, be considerate, let's take a look who's on your right and look on your left. Right? The other famous marshal was Absal Salanter, the father of the Muslim movement. If we'd be a guest in a place, and it came time to wash for bread, he would use very little water to wash his hands. And he was once asked by a Talmud. The Gemara says that the more that you wash your hands, the more water that you use, there's more bracha. So how come, Rebbe, why are you using so little water? He said, I'll tell you why. Because who's bringing the water? It's not like today you have a sink. The maid has to go schlep and draw water with the bucket from the thing. On her cheshbon to schlep a lot of water, so I should be able to do the mitzvah until Sudan. Her pain, the sensitivity, I cannot do a mitzvah, right, and hurt somebody else at the same time. There's countless. Rapam used to give a moshul. He said many times, he says, when you go to a chasen, and that is a tremendous mitzvah to me, and Sameach Chosen Kalan to dance. What happens, you've seen it all the time, the music already stopped, and maybe they want a bench, the bachurim continue to dance another half an hour. So he says, there are elderly grandparents who may want a bench already to go home. So you want to be mekayim mitzvah mesameach, you're dancing an extra half hour, you're causing elderly people who really need to go home, but they can't, you know, I'm an uncle, I'm an aunt, I have to stay here. So what you're doing then? And then there are babysitters waiting for people to come home, right? And because of your delaying the stay, so the male of the babysitter says, she also has a day for tomorrow, she has to go to sleep at night. These are all things that you have to think about when you're doing a mitzvah. Ramchal's Loshon is called Mishkal HaChasidus. You have to weigh your piety. You want to do a mitzvah on the one hand, what's the price you're paying on the other side? Maybe a mitzvah really is not all that much mitzvah, as great as you think. You have to be careful. If it's a mitzvah, it has to be a mitzvah all around, and make sure that nobody's hurt when you do that. It should be a mitzvah mit chalos v'soifei. That's the kind of mitzvah that Kosh Baruch Hu wants. Good.